Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio with your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am excited to be here on tonight, not just because I'm here, but and you're here, but I get another opportunity to break down God's word and have a better understanding, not just for me, but to be able to be empowered to share it with you. So if this is your very first time tuning in, our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower. And so we try to make sure that we give an encouraging word to those of you that may be listening, that may be going through something that just needs a little encouragement to keep moving on. We also try to give you a little word. It may not be a brand new topic. It may be something that you're already familiar with, but to give you enough information to make you go and expound a little bit more on whatever it is that God has laid on your heart for you to learn from the lesson, and then to make the necessary changes by empowering yourself to do what God has assigned you to do, and then more importantly, be empowered to share it with someone else. So our goal is to encourage, to educate, and to empower, all to the glory of God. And so I pray that each of you will be able to say all three, but at least one of those important directives on tonight. And so for those of you, as I said, are brand new, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank whoever invited you, and I pray that you come back. We're on every Monday night at the same time. We start with an upbeat song, and then we get ourselves hyped up, and then I thank everybody for listening in, and then we go into the lesson. So for those of you that are new, I hope that, praise God, you will be empowered to come back. For those of you that have been with me, praise God, can you believe 9 years, almost 9 years, we can say that we've been in this vein of doing what God has called us to do, and that is to study and learn and grow about him, and then to be more like him. And so I'm grateful for those of you that tune in each week, especially my prayer warriors that pray through the broadcast to make sure that I stay focused and true to God's word. And so I will always, always, always be grateful for you. And thank you for the encouragement that you give me just even moments before the broadcast to keep me focused and keep me encouraged. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you. For those of you, praise God, that may have been tuning in for 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or the whole 9 years, amen, I am still grateful for you, because, again, I wouldn't be able to be as mature in the word if it had not been for your prayers and your encouragement and your motivation and empowerment. So I thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, I always will give a shout-out to you. For those of you that don't know, I have to give the best shout and praise to Jesse and Tammy Store, because, praise God, without the Omega Ministry Group, I wouldn't have known this was a platform for me. And so I'm grateful that God blesses them to bless me, and that they continue to be the strong towers, the pillars in this biblical community, if you will, to keep us focused, to keep us charged up to do what God has called us to do, and that is to teach the gospel. And so I'm always grateful for them. Now, the greatest praise that all of us can give has to be to our Father above, because without him, none of this, we wouldn't even be possible. And so we always want to make sure that we start upbeat, something that gets us kind of motivated. And our old pastor used to say, Hazak, that means encourage yourself to get yourself in the right mode to really receive a word from on high, so that we can make the necessary changes, because we're empowered to change and we want to make sure we change. So we got to give God his credit. And so we always start with prayer before we go into our lesson. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful, wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, that you are God all by yourself, that you don't need any help, praise God, but we need your help, and you're willing to give it, and you're willing to give it, you're willing to share it, even at the cost, Father, that Jesus had to come and die for us. And so we just thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done, the things that you're doing, the things that you will do in our lives. We thank you, Father, for being here in this hour, in this moment, to allow us to understand what you have for us to understand, and to be about what you've called us to be about, and that is to share your gospel, to be like you, to allow people to see, because sometimes it's the only word they see is through our lives. So show us what's necessary for us to make and do and change to be more like you. But we thank you that you are our shepherd and that we don't have to want. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to know that we can just call on your name and we'll be there. And so we won't be remiss to not thank you for being a vine and allowing us to be branches connected to you. Because when we do, Father, we understand that we bear much fruit. Because without you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, we thank you that your word says that if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted. And so, Father, we're asking for you to humble our hearts, humble my heart, Father, and let my mind be connected to you let my lips and let my words and let my heart and my passion be lined up with you so that I will share a rhema word to those that are listening and that they will take this word no matter whether they're listening tonight or listening to a previous or the broadcast 4 years from now, even, Father, that it will be a rhema word for them, that they will use it to their betterment and know who you are and who they are in you because of it. So, Father, again, we love you, we honor you, we adore you, we thank you for your word, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and more importantly, we thank you for Jesus and the blood that was shed on our behalf so that we could have an eternal life and an unlimited relationship, intimate relationship with you. We love you, we honor you, we adore you, Father. If there's anything that would hinder this prayer, we ask that you remove it in Jesus' name and, again, make us more like you so that we can see your face and know that we're here, good and well done, my faithful servant. Father, again, we honor you, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killingsworth, Empowered to Change, Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so over the past couple of days, I've been kind of I don't want to say a funk, but basically that's what it was. And so I've been so encouraged by how the lessons have been connecting over the past couple of weeks of how we know we're supposed to be consistent in the things of God and how we know that we can pray, but we got to get out of the way. And then even last week when we talked about the 23rd Psalm and how God prepares a table in the presence of our enemy. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's really cool. When you think about, you know, just you're preparing a table in the presence of our enemy. And so I think about a prepared table that, you know, has everything that you could possibly need. And, you know, I often think, and I think that's why I was kind of in a funk this week, because there's a lot of things that are coming at me that I have to pay nice-sized chunks of money for. And so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, you know, in all the years that I've been working and all the years that I've been in this system trying to, you know, be in the Jet magazine and the Ebony magazine, amen, you know, and missing it. And, Lord, you know, I just, you know, been sick and, you know, had all these challenges. And then last week when we read, you know, the 23rd Psalms, and I know we focused more towards the end where he prepared the table for me in the presence of my enemy, I went back to the top. And I focused on, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so I looked that up in different translations, and I want for nothing. And I thought, but Lord, I have a lot of wants that are not being satisfied right now. So how do I say that and mean it? I know you're going to allow me to lay down in green pastures, and you're going to lead me beside the still waters, and you're going to restore my soul, and you lead me to the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And I know all the good stuff that that says, but how I'm feeling in this moment, I'm stuck on I shall not want, and I have lots of wants. And then God had to remind me, that didn't say need. It said want. And so I thought, well, still, Lord, you know, some of my wants are my needs. And so I don't want for a lot of stuff. I'm not asking for millions, although it'd be nice. But just some simple wants. I want my teeth fixed. I want to lose weight. I want to be able to pay my bills without having to count my pennies before I write the check or transmit or however we submit our monies now. We don't write checks that much no more. But nevertheless, I want to be able to do that blindly. And not have to, you know, believe that, you know, they ain't going to bounce or whatever. There's just a lot that I think a lot of us are going through. And so even this week when I picked up food for those that are less fortunate that I serve, and it was like this, just, I mean, pallets and pallets and pallets of food. And then people I know are hungry and don't have access to that food. And the people that are picking up that food that I sit in line for hours to get on some weeks are not people that are really in need or people that are actually using it to serve other people. So we have an abundance in this environment that we live in, But it sometimes seems like the people that are pursuing God the most are not in that loop of how they can get their wants, their needs maybe, but not always their wants. And so, Lord, show me how to have a better understanding. Verse 1 in the Psalm 23 really means, I know you are my shepherd. I get that completely. But I still looked it up, and I wanted to have a better understanding. And so I've been to seminary school, so I have tons and tons and tons and tons of books. But the book that I go to the most is a children's book that explains each part of the Bible. And so when I went to that particular book, when I really tried to understand what this psalm meant and why it was significant, I had to go back to the writer. And so when we go to the writer of Psalms, but just any book of the Bible, it sometimes gives us a better understanding of where they were when they wrote that particular passage of scripture. And even in the midst of me studying why this particular psalm was written and the person that wrote it, I was, I guess, shocked, if you will. I talked to an old friend, and we got on the subject. I still to this day don't know how we got on that subject, but I know that it was God that made us talk about this subject, because I asked him about the Bible or something. I can't remember what I asked, but we got on the topic of he believed in a higher power, but he didn't necessarily believe God the way I believe. And he didn't necessarily believe the Bible the way I believe. And he didn't necessarily believe in the enemy or the adversary or the devil. There was a lot of things that I was puzzled. And I was, because we had the conversation and it went into a in-depth conversation. And then God reminded me, because sometimes I do go back and forth. It's like, okay, Lord, I did all this studying, but for what? And it was for that moment. And so when we all talk to different people in our course of life, many people have specialties that they study because that's where they believe their interest lies. And so some, you know, do pharmacy. And so I bring that up because of my niece. Amen. But she has her PhD in pharmacy. And so she studied and she's done enough experiments and worked in several hospitals and been in different environments where she knows medicine. She knows if the thing she doesn't know, she knows what resource to go to get the information. And so that's why she's a doctor of pharmacy. And so, you know, we have other people that have other professions and they're, you know, are qualified because of the experience and because of the things that they study. So they're qualified to make those statements that they make. And so God reminded me, you are qualified for the word. So break it down to make them understand. And if they don't want to understand, that's on them, but you are qualified to understand. And so I thought, well, okay, Lord, so even in my little hang-up about my wants, it was necessary for me to have that conversation to make me actually go back to study to understand. I know the answer to that question. And why I'm allowing it to puzzle me for whatever reason, again, goes back to the bottom part of this psalm. Again, prepares for me in the presence of my enemies. So what am I saying? I'm saying all this to say, when we know that we know that we know the word of God, and when people come and the enemy comes, they are trying to take your eyes off the presence of your table. And you have to remember that God anointed your head with oil, and your cup overruns with goodness and mercy, and they follow you all the days of your life. But we get caught up sometimes with the top part of the scripture, I want, amen, and I need. We have to remember it all. So, amen, going back to why I had to go back, and that's why it's important that we have to sometimes go back to the beginning and read, and why I am so adamant about why we need to look up words, even though they seem to be very basic. But we need to understand what really is a want, what really is a need, and then understand what did the author mean when they wrote that particular passage of scripture. Was it based on the actual quote-unquote secular definition of that word, or were we talking about the biblical definition of that word? So anyway, back to Psalm. When we were talking about, when I read about there are different authors in the book of Psalms and how Psalms is a book of poetry. And so basically the Psalms were songs of praise, and many people use them for worship for God. And so I liked how it broke up. And so this may not mean much to many of you, but it means a lot to me when I do my study. And so I like that this particular children's book, mind you, broke down and said that the title of Psalms means book of praise, and that it is a book of 150 songs of praise to God. And this collection is broken up into five main collections, if you will. The first one to verse 40, or chapter 44, or Psalm, I should say, 41, was written by David. And then 42 to 72 were a combination of David and the sons of Korah. And then 73 to 89 was Asaph. And then the 90 to 106, many don't, aren't convinced to give a name to the authors of those Psalms. But 107 to 150, a good portion of those are written by David. And again, some of those are unknown. And so again, why is this significant? Well, again, when you're studying and when you want to have a better understanding of what was necessarily meant during the time or what analogies or metaphors, me and my sister talked about that this week too. Some things you can take literal, and some things you can take based on the times the person was actually writing and wrote that particular passage. You can also, as the argument I had, well, I shouldn't say argument, but discussion that I had with my old friend, was that, yes, these were mere men and they were writing, but they were writing under the inspiration of God. And although the interpretations may have gotten translated differently based on the King James Version and all these other versions that there are, at the end of the day, when you're seeking God for a word on how he will give you the right understanding if you ask him. And that's why I always pray, if I remain in you and your words remain in me, ask whatever you wish and it will be given, and it will be. But nevertheless, so David wrote the 23rd Psalm, and the Lord is my shepherd basically meant that he, because that was his occupation pretty much at the time, they believe he wrote this before, of course, he became king. But that, you know, he was going through some things, and the things that he experienced because he was a shepherd, that he understood what it meant to care for sheep. So then, of course, I looked at sheep. And so when I was trying to find a title for this topic for tonight, I was confused because I thought, do we talk about sheep? Do we talk about Jesus because it's Holy Week? Do we, how, Lord? Or do we just focus because I'm in need? And so he was kind enough to put it all together. And so I thought, you know, I just love the God I serve. So nevertheless, I studied all of them and how he's going to bring them all together. So I pray that it comes together for you too. So like I said, David was a shepherd of the sheep. And so I looked up sheep, and why is it significant that we talk about sheep? And many times, at least for me, whenever I've been in environment, Sunday school and different places, they made me believe that sheep were pretty dumb and that sheep were followers, and that they, you know, they didn't create much confusion. They just follow whatever shepherd was leading them. And so this, to some degree, may be true, but in actuality, sheep are very intelligent. And so one of the things that I loved about this particular article that I read, it talked about five main things that sheep, characteristics of sheep. And it says that sheep are incredible, and they're caring, and they have deep bonds, not only for their babies, but for for their kinship, if you will. So most sheep tend to have bonds with the other sheep that are in their community. And so I thought that it was interesting enough that it said that they fight for each other and they grieve when one is lost or killed or gone or wandered off, whatever the case may be. But they have the same emotions like people. They are fearful. They have joy. They have boredom. They're angry. And, of course, they can be happy. One of the things that I think was interesting to me as well is that sheep have a unique rectangular pupil. So they have an amazing peripheral vision. And so their depth of vision, you know, because I study about the eyes, of course, because I have challenging minds, but nevertheless, they have the range of 270 to 320 degrees, when we only have an average of 155 degrees as far as our peripheral depth. And then they are able to self-medicate. And so they know how to sustain themselves to make sure that they feel better. Now, of course, I looked at some pictures of sheep, and they're not that pretty, in my opinion. But nevertheless, people use their coats for many purposes. And so when I thought about them, I looked up all these other animals, and I thought it was interesting how even psychologists and different types of people use personalities of animals to kind of associate human behavior with. And so I'm not going to name all the ones that were listed, but I thought it was interesting for me to share that they associate dogs, that they have a perceptive, supportive, and optimistic personality that can be associated with humans. A dolphin is creative and enthusiastic. They said that the bear, of course, we know is powerful. They also said that a bear is direct and outgoing. And then many of us know that the fox is clever and curious and quick. And then the elephant is reliable, loyal, and has a lot of wisdom. And then my two favorites, I guess now, is the ant. And then the Bible speaks a lot about the ant that's dependable and very productive and very meticulous. And then, of course, our sheep. But, of course, they didn't have many nice adjectives to go with the sheep. And so I thought that it was very interesting, but it wasn't really included in the personalities that they associate. And so when we make that association of sheep and some of the other animals that we tend to clever, like a fox and, you know, and I want to be as wee as an elephant and different things, nobody ever associates with the sheep. And so I thought, well, Lord, why don't we associate more with the sheep? And so when, again, I studied a little further and found that the reason why sheep are spoken so highly of in the Word is because one, David made this association because he cared for them, and he knew that he had to lead them, and when he led them, that they would follow him. And so that is why we are God's sheep. And so when you think about sheep being dumb, I made the analogy that, okay, Lord, I want to be a dumb sheep because I spent too long trying to be a clever fox. So being a clever fox means that I'm not tamed correctly, or being as powerful as a bear. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up with the world system of what they think that I'm molding our minds and our bodies and our attitudes and our personalities and how we should be. We forget what God has called us to do and to be. And so when we come outside of the personalities that God designed and become clever as a fox and witty as the elephant, then we take on the wrong characteristics, we take on the wrong attitude, and then we don't understand when it says, I shall not want, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I don't think bears and elephants and foxes would like to lay down in green pastures and sit beside still waters. they have a nature of hunting and all the other characteristics that they do, and that's why we have to be mindful on the things that we associate with. Because when we associate that thing with the wrong things and the wrong people, our mind and our attitude and our focus changes. And so I thought, well, Lord, okay, I resist. I want to be more like the sheep. I want to be led by the ultimate shepherd. And who is the shepherd? The shepherd is Jesus. We want to be led by him. And so when I thought, okay, Lord, so how is it that we should be led by you? So again, in my thirst for understanding and reading, I thought, well, what the heck? I'm going to read the chapter before Psalms 23 to see how that leads into 23. And to my amazement, Psalms 22 had a whole different meaning and a whole different understanding. And it started with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night season, I am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted you. They trusted you, and you delivered them. They cried to you. You were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who seek me ridicule me. They shout out their lips. They shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me. For trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan who encircle me. They gape at me, with their mouths, like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands, my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. For my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offsprings of Israel, for he is not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise be to you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. And it goes on and on, but praise God, it talks a lot about worship. But I wanted to share that because in the midst of my questioning about my want, when I read that, I thought, oh, Lord, here it is. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I thought, wow, okay, that's kind of where I was. And then when I realized that I had heard this before, who has said this before? And so, of course, in my concordance, when it refers scriptures, it took me to Matthew 27. And then I recognized who was the one that said this. Jesus said this on the week that they crucified him. Now, I want to take a pause for just a moment, just to really kind of give a little commercial how the scriptures that we read, or that I read, that we read together, was from the Old Testament. Here we fast forward to the New Testament. And this is how I was able to answer my friend when he said that the Bible was not authorized because all these different people write it. Well, Jesus knew the scriptures true enough, and so he could have just said it because he had read the Psalms before. But nevertheless, it should give us comfort to know that God's word is true. How many years had passed, centuries had passed, before Matthew's book came to play, that Psalm was written, and that they, you know, not everybody had access to the word like we do. So we could easily say, oh, it's plagiarized in today's time. But back then, they didn't have many copies of the word. And so those of those that did, they couldn't have been able to duplicate the prophecies as well as they had been able to had not these things had come to pass. And so when I realized, as my step-grandmother used to say all the time, whenever she stumped her toe or cut her foot or did something to herself, she said, oh, this is not nearly as bad as what Jesus went through. And so that made it more surreal for me. Here I am crying about God not providing the wants that I thought I wanted and really understanding the sacrifice that Jesus made on my behalf. Even though I don't have all the money that I want to, say, get my teeth fixed, but I have a home, I have healthy children. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. And while I'm crying about and moaning and groaning about what I don't have that I think I necessarily want, the things that I need, I have. And so the name, this forsaken me, we really need to get out of these pity parties that we allow the enemy to put on us, because we take on these personalities of these other elements that the world system says. And when we get into a bond, then we're lost. But if we stay humble like the sheep, we will always know that we have a shepherd that will lead us and guide us to righteousness for his name's sake, because he said he would. How many thousands and thousands of years ago, and he's true today just as much as he was then, and he will be on tomorrow and forever, ever. And so I am rejoicing, if you will, after I read the 27th. And that's why study is so important. When we get into funks and we get into situations where you just don't believe God is hearing us, you've forsaken me, Lord, start reading. I promise you, if you start reading, God will give you an understanding of, no, I'm not far. But because of sin and because of the system that we live in, we tend to sometimes isolate God. And when we isolate God, that's when the enemy comes in like a thief in the night, because he wants us to be confused. He wants us to not depend or think that God hears our cries, that he is not attentive to us and our needs. And so even in the respect of Jesus saying, why have thou forsaken me, it wasn't necessarily that he knew God wasn't answering his prayers. It was a plea for us to understand that even in the midst of the midst, and we don't have a clue what the things that our Savior did for us so that we could be saved, but nevertheless, it gave us an example. And so I just want to read a couple verses from Matthew 27 that I think is significant. It says, and I like the study that I have, does the subtitles above the scripture, so it gives you an understanding of what you're about to read. And so it says, Jesus before Pilate. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And you have said so. Oh, let me start over. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? That's the governor. This is how Jesus replied. You have said so, says Jesus. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, Do you hear the testimonies that are bringing against you? And Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, many times people will say things and accuse us, and many times we will inherit situations, bills, whatever. And many times, in my opinion, God has given us the best examples. Sometimes it is not worth a reply. I have a friend that loves to share all of the things that they have experienced and done, and why they are the greatest to mankind. And so many times I have accomplished way more than this particular person, but it's not necessary for me to respond. Why? Because there is no reason to respond. Many times we get caught up competing with each other when there's no need to compete. Many times we get caught up talking too much when we need to seek God for the answer or the reply. And sometimes the reply is nothing. But nevertheless, sometimes we have to respond, but we have to make sure that we use the right words that God will instruct us to share, so that we don't create more of a mess for ourselves. Jesus could have easily said what he could have said, but nevertheless, he kept it to himself. And so sometimes it's not necessary for a response. Now, the custom for the governor was to release one of the prisoners to the crowd. And so at the time, it was between Jesus and Barabbas. And so going down to verse 21, the governor asked, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. And they answered, "Barabbas." "And what shall we do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. And they answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked. And they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took the water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. Now I thought, why was that significant? It was significant because of what he said after. He said, "I am innocent of this man's blood." He said, "It is your responsibility." And this is what the people said. And all the people answered, "His blood is on us and our children." Who would say something stupid like that? But they did. And so back in those days, in that custom, it was, and it's scary enough because the Bible is the same today and forever. We have to remember, too, God is a generational God. And we can get so caught up on our attitudes and our behaviors and the things we say and the things we do, that we don't realize that the sins that we do intentionally can not necessarily just be on us, but they can be on our children and our children's children for generations to come. So we have to be careful. And I like the fact that Pilate knew that he was an innocent man, and he said, "I'm washing my hands of it." And so that's pretty much part of where that saying comes from. But nevertheless, we have to be mindful, and as sheep of Christ, our major shepherd, we have to be mindful that we're not putting the blood of other people on us, and then not knowing that streams down to our generations of children. And so, Granny, I'm not wanting to say that my parents and my grandparents, and Granny, I know you're listening, it's not y'all's fault, but nevertheless, it could be. You know, so we have to be mindful of some of the things that we do. And so we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, thank God, so we can repent. And that's why it's important for us to repent. But many of us, because we believe in this world system that says that we're, you know, I'm cunning as a fox and I'm weak as an elephant, that I don't have to abide by those things because my life is perfect. And I do what I do because I've experienced and I've grown to know what to do and what not to do. And so I don't believe that the things that I do will cause confusion or challenges on other people or my generation. That is crazy for us to believe when we know the word to be true. So we have to be mindful how we treat people. We have to be mindful on the sins that we openly commit that could have consequences not just on ourselves but on our family and generations to come. And so, again, I'm looking at this scripture and thinking, wow, as I'm in my little funk, and of course my appointments have all been in the upper parts of Atlanta, in Buckhead, for those of you that know about Buckhead, and all these nice homes, and my dentist bill was $23,000, like 2-4 comma and some more zeros. And I thought, Lord, where would I get that kind of money to get my teeth fixed? And how is it necessary? But there are people that can do it in cash. Why am I not one of the people? What did I do? I went to school. I have a doctor's degree, but I don't make that kind of money. Why me? What did I do wrong? What steps did I miss that I can't make that kind of money that I could just put that on my card and keep it moving? What did I do wrong? What did I do? And then when I go to you are my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I want pearly white teeth. But then God reminds me, if you had that kind of money, what would you do with it? The money that I give you, are you faithful to the money I give you now? The answer, well, maybe I buy a little bit. Buy too many Pepsi, too many Snickers, too many Butterfingers. Okay, I get it. So what do I need to do differently? And that's when we go to God and when we seek him. That's when we become sheep and we go before God. Lord, what do I need to do in order to have this part in life? And then even if it's even designed for me, because again, if somehow, some way I'm a sheep today and God knows that I may revert back to the elephant or the fox, then God knows. Because he knows all, and that's why he's our shepherd. And so we have to trust him. And that's what I love about why the whole collection was necessary, because it gives us different perspectives on how we should cry out to God. So Psalms 22nd is about a person who is crying out to God to save him from the taunt and torment of his enemies, much like Jesus did when we fast forward to Matthew 27. And then, of course, some of the other songs were written to rejoice and to praise. I mean, there are so many blessings in the Word of God that I think that we sometimes miss out because we don't study properly. And so while we're so focused on being forsaken and that the Lord is not listening to me and he doesn't hear my cries, he does. But we have a part to play in that too. And that's why we have to be obedient and why we have to repent. And when we do things that are not according to God's plan, there's consequences to that. Maybe if I had been a little more focused when I got my first degree, could have followed down that track. And although my goal and my aim was to be an ebony and jet, well, that was probably not the focus that I should have had, because that was about me and being praised and rewarded for what? For glory's sake, to put myself higher than the things, thinking of myself more highly than I ought to. Maybe that's why that direction changed for me. I don't know. But nevertheless, I am grateful for where I am now, because had I had all that, would I be here with you sharing the word and imparting the word and doing my best to make sure that you're encouraged, that you're educated and empowered? I'd be empowering myself somewhere probably. And so we all have to be grateful for the journey that God has for us. But if there are some things that we want, that's why I love John 15:5-7. If we recognize he's divine and that we're branches and we're connected to him, it said that our fruit will prosper. And so, yes, I'm going to get my teeth done, but it may not have to cost $24,000. He'll help me find it where it can be in my bracket of understanding. Praise God. And they could probably look better and feel better than paying $24,000 for them. But nevertheless, I have to look to God, because he is my resource. and he is my source. It's not Buckhead, and it's not being amongst that group of people thinking that that's where I'm supposed to be. I am where I am supposed to be, and I have to be grateful and be content like a sheep that is being led by my shepherd, that I shall not want, that I am comfortable laying in the pastures and being still by the still waters and being grateful that my cup runneth over. It may not be in dollar bills, amen, but it is in the blessings that God has for me that I can be blessed to be a blessing for other people. And so, saints, I don't know what you're supposed to get from this message, but I pray that God will give you what you need, because we're chasing after things that are not necessarily ours, and we have the best example. And so I don't necessarily do Easter speeches and Easter messages and the nine, but we have to look to Jesus as our example. I love the fact when my daughter asked me, why was Palm Sunday so significant? And I can say, in my best phrase, is people. They praised him coming in, laid palm trees before him, and it wasn't even 7 days before they were shouting, crucify him. I said, that's just how fickle people are. Just as fickle as it would have been me being in Jet or Ebony magazine for that issue, it would have been great, but then they would have put that down. Or, matter of fact, I don't even think those publications are even in operation anymore. And so, again, to my testimony that that was my aim, but now my name is in a book, praise God, that will never go out of circulation. Amen, ever. And so my focus was wrong. And so we have to ask God, where is our focus? Is our focus on the one that has been redeemed? Is our focus on the one that has all power in everything? Me and my sister was talking about he has the power in his hand. I said, that's a metaphor. He has power everywhere. And I mean, it's not just, it's everywhere. That was just to show the significance of his mighty righteous hand. That he, it's everywhere. It's oozing all over him, all over him. It's not just limited to his hand, but just to give us a reference. If we could put the world in one hand, that's how powerful he is. How significant it is for us to serve him. But if you don't know him, I suggest that you get to know him. And the only way that you can get to know him is to talk to him and to read about him and to study him and allow his light to shine in you so that you can be with him. My sister tells you, he's got the whole world in his hand. Absolutely. He has the whole world in his hand. And if that is the case, then why wouldn't we serve him? Why would we allow bills and situations to get us off focus? I had a couple situations that I just didn't want to call and tell the people that I couldn't do it. And then I had to remember, man, you serve a God that looks high and low, and you can't tell a couple people no? Are you kidding me? I put my Jesus armor on, amen. And we can't do it. And it was easy. Why? Because I had to remember who I was in him. I had to remember the significance of Jesus going to the cross for me. The significance of Jesus going to the cross for you. Whatever it is that you've got you boggled, has got you worn and torn down, shake that off, because it is nothing like carrying a cross to Calvary. It is nothing like wearing a crown of thorns. It is nothing like being pierced in the side. I went to a railroad track a couple years ago and found this nail, and I thought, oh, this is significant because I love teaching. And I took that to my class, and I said, this ain't like the actual nail, but it's like a nail, the nail that's in the railroads because they use the big, ugly. What, can you imagine this being pounded in both your feet together on a rickety, I mean, we trip hard on a hardwood floor that's kind of rugged, away we get a splinter and we tripping. But to have both your feet nailed to something like that and your hands on people and hang, amen. My teeth can wait. Amen. My teeth can wait. When I think about the significance of that, things, we got to stop tripping. And we got to get into the Word, and we got to believe and trust Jesus that He said that He will give us our desires and our wants. They just ain't coming when we want them, but we get them when we need them. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, I could go on and on and on because I could keep talking and keep talking, and I didn't encourage myself. Amen. So I thank my saints for praying for me at the beginning of this broadcast, and you know who you are. I thank you, thank you, thank you. But the Word will do that for you. It will encourage you and put you back on the right path and make you remember, because I wanted to name it, I'm going to be a dumb sheep. But the Lord said, no, don't do it, the dumb sheep, because they ain't dumb. They're intelligent. We are intelligent people because we follow the right shepherd. Amen. We are intelligent sheep. Amen. So, amen. But please, please, please tune in again. We will have another inspiring word. And just tune in the same way. Either you dialed in or you logged in. And then invite somebody to log in or dial in. Again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And amen, amen. Bless somebody this week. We know that we're celebrating Easter Sunday, and it may not necessarily be the day that Jesus was crucified on the cross and rose again. But because the world celebrates it, then take advantage of it and witness to somebody. Amen. Amen. Well, again, tune in next week and make sure that you start your day with prayer and close throughout your day and end your day with prayer. I'm going to close this broadcast out with my granny's favorite song, because every praise belongs to Him, and it really does. So get it together. Be a sheep and walk intelligently after the shepherd. In Jesus' name, be blessed and have a great week.
Let me hear the worshipers!
Yeah.